Hello and welcome to the Astr Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astr Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and partner, Rob Stein. Rob, hello.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. We'll start, as usual, by giving a brief snapshot of the economy. We'll go through the labor market, including today's payroll number, talk about ISM. I want to touch on some of the weekly numbers, which are looking better. And maybe Rob and I will talk about rates a little bit, and that will be it. So as far as a snapshot, I see us as the economy is in a lull since the fall. We had a very rapid pace of improvement in the summer, early fall, late fall, winter. Things have stagnated a bit. Job growth has slowed. We may be seeing a reverse of that, but in general, I'm going to say still, like, through the February numbers, which we have, fairly low, slow rate of improvement the last several months. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Yes. Today's number was maybe a little surprise on the upside, but yes, I like the way you phrase it, kind of a lull. I like that word. But it's a lull that feels like it's going to push more to the upside.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's jump into it. So today, it's Friday, the 5th of March. Payroll number came out about an hour ago. And so the headline number is change in non-farm payrolls up almost 400,000, better than expected, with a large upward revision to last month's numbers. Notably, change in private payrolls, 465,000. So that means that net state and local governments, state, all levels of government, lost jobs last month. Unemployment rate, a tick better at 6.2 versus 6.3 the previous week. The prime age labor force participation rate continues to improve. Those are sort of the broad highlights. What jumped out at you, Rob?
So we spoke about it a little earlier. The government, state, education sector, I would expect that, particularly the reopening. There are kids going back to school. Government needs to function. There's a lot of money out there. So I would have thought that that would have been more of a help. And you might see that. That what jumps out at me about that is that sometimes isn't forecasted as well as some of the other labor data. And I think that could give a little bit of a push as we kind of jump into the second quarter.
Yeah, it's interesting. So if you look at the state education numbers, those were about 2.6 million a year ago. Now they're about 2.3 million. So lost 300,000 jobs there that have not made any progress coming back. Local education, we were about 8 million. Now we're about 7.4 million. So we lost about 600,000 jobs there. So that's, 800,000 jobs between the two of them that we are shy. And both those numbers are extremely low, right? You have to go back to 2001 before.
It's going to say over a decade, yeah.
Yeah, two decades to get back to those numbers. So when and how those will turn around is not clear to me. Like, it could be the case that local education is just laying off their cafeteria work, laid off all the cafeteria workers, right? And they don't hire them back until next year. But they could also say, they could blow the whistle and get everybody back to school and have them back in, for April 1st if they want to.
And I think it's more the latter. I have school-age kids, and it does appear that this is temporary, that it's not some of the industries that are going to work from home. So I see, at least in education and perhaps in some of the other government services, that rebounding pretty aggressively.
Yeah. So as far as sector highlights go, leisure hospitality added 355,000 jobs, accounting for almost the entire change in the overall payroll number. And construction and government lost jobs, I guess, in construction. So remember, the reference week is the week of February 12th. And it was, that was like the ice storm, and Texas is, under a glacier, and it was bad. So I'm assuming that construction stuff, given the robust construction demand, is going to turn around.
I agree. The COVID residential construction's been moving quite forward. I think those are tough to get a handle on. As you see different ways that consumers react and spend, you made a good point. Are they going to need another fast food restaurant, or are they going to now have those be built differently and we're consuming it through some sort of Postmate type thing? That's very, very possible. But I John, I got to tell you, when I look at hospitality and leisure and those coming back, that to me is the part of the economy that got shut down.
Definitely.
That is most likely to bounce back. Definitely. You're not going to be able to replace a lot of those services. So I don't count them as much impacting the economy as some of the other sectors, some of the other areas of job growth.
Oh, wait. So can you clarify that? So I think leisure hospitality definitely got cut the most, right? And so you think they are or are not going to come back?
I do. And I think it was the one that was most likely transitory or temporary.
All right. So what services do you think are not going to come back?
That's the big question. You know, and I wrote about this and we've talked about it. You know, we're going to become more efficient to become efficient. And the way we consume is going to be a little different. So, you know, even in firms like ours, where you can, you know, outsource certain functions that you're not going to need so much anymore. You know, perhaps receptionist or, you know, whatever, a little lower skilled jobs. But I do think that I'm going to just say the obvious one, that the jobs I expected to come back the most, almost in a direct rebound, are leisure and hospitality.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking earlier about you're beginning to see some sort of constraint in terms of like flight, just like anecdotal reports of flights and stuff like that. Before we leave the labor market altogether, like I do want to mention the jobless claims. I had seen improvement last week, and this week's numbers were sort of stable in terms of the claims. Initial claims are about, didn't increase a little bit compared to last week's steep decline. So I'm still seeing claims. I'm going to say claims are not getting worse. They're not getting better. They haven't broken out of this range of about, you know, 1.1 to 1.4 million new claims a week, but and so we're hoping to see that drop down in the next couple of weeks. Yeah,
I would agree that we'll probably see an aggressive jump. The economy is opening up. I wouldn't call it in a consistent, even way. You get a few states that suddenly, boom, they're open. You blink your eyes, and oh, that was closed. Now that's open. So I agree. I think that the weekly data isn't going to be gradual. I think you're going to see almost like a shock to it.
Yeah. And I think also like the reopening is not as much a function of, you know, big government signs telling you to stay home, but what people are comfortable with, right? So I know Texas limiting all restrictions, but like, you know, their cases are going the wrong direction. If the hospital's admissions start going the wrong direction, then that will all dissipate. And just one more thing before we leave the labor market. You know, we're still 9 million jobs below where we want to be. And so, I mean, I guess I fully expect, I saw JP Morgan was expecting, you know, almost 700,000 jobs per month, 8 million jobs for the year. And that seems really plausible to me. And we haven't seen numbers like that kind of ever, except we saw them to the downside in March and April of last year. And that will be really interesting to see if that comes to fruition. But that's what the pace we need to be on to get sort of back in striking distance of full employment by the end of 2021. You know, 700,000 jobs a month for the rest of the year.
Yes. The question, did the stimulus truly bridge that period of time where you had, you know, high unemployment subsidized by some sort of stimulus and relief programs? And then, you know, you're adding 600,000, 700,000 10 months from now, you get very close to where you were. Or is there a structural change in the economy where growth and consumption can get back to levels without unemployment getting back to the levels that we were before the pandemic started? Or are we going to become, you know, that much more efficient and have a different underemployment issue?
Well, that might be a challenge to your inflation thesis, right? Like if you can get the same level of output with 4 million fewer jobs, then like where's the inflation going to come from, Rob?
No, that's a great point. And that would be one of the things that would have me alter that forecast a little bit. If you don't get back to sort of a full employment with higher wages, you know, there's going to be a balancing act of where that needs to come from. But my inflation thesis, and I don't want to go too far out of the field, but it has a lot more to do with just workers, supply and demand shortages. I think there's some structural things that are happening at the Fed and with debt and bond prices and competing yields. So I think there's a few other things that will impact interest rates, which is more my thesis than just pure, we're going to have more inflation.
I want to go through some of the weekly numbers, the higher frequency numbers, because I am seeing hints of a turnaround there. We watch, you know, a bunch of mobility indices. Those are looking like they're at the high for the recovery. That's sort of like people watch your cell phone. They count how where your cell phone goes. Those seem like better numbers than polling numbers. Those are looking good. You know, much higher than.
Does it count if you're going to get your shot?
Yeah, if you go get your shot, that's good. That's definitely right. Good. So hotel occupancy is still well below normal. It looks like it's increasing on a seasonal path. Nothing sort of special there. But then, you know, you do see the open table seated diners is back to its local maximum from the that was in October. And that's with, you know, still cold weather in a lot of the country. TSA security clearances creeping back up to the million mark, halfway back to normal. So I definitely see some signs of life in the higher frequency alternative data. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm definitely encouraged by that.
But John, it is encouraging, but isn't there a piece of the snapback from the lull or from the what you referred to it as sort of a suppression that's expected? You know, you drop the ball, it bounces to some level. And I think the real question is, whatever that mathematical level that you can figure out is, are we going to go beyond it? It's not a surprise that millions of jobs are coming back. It's not a surprise that we're getting positive numbers, hundreds of thousands of positive numbers. Under expectations don't really mean that much to me. It's hard to analyze. But I really think is the stimulus, is the way that we become consuming and working going to be more productive? And this isn't me talking out of the other side from what I said before about perhaps we're going to have lower employment. But the real question, I think, is how far do we go past where many people could have calculated this is coming back for sure?
Well, I guess
like, that's what's going to drive the economy.
Right. I guess I would have agreed with that in September, right? We had the suppression in March, April, May. We had recovery from suppression through September, but then that recovery stopped, right? As we got the third wave and people reacted to that. And so we had sort of a disruption in that recovery, that sort of bounce back, to use your ball analogy. And so, you know, it wasn't impossible that, you know, the weakness could have become self-reinforcing. And so that we're getting back to a recovery is quite encouraging to me. That's all.
Agreed. And if we do get some momentum, you know, the ball takes the second bounce and it goes higher with, you know, all the things
that's
that
not
are
the way
pushing
bounces
at
work.
It.
That's not the way bounces work.
Well, they work if the second bounce is on a trampoline. And I'm considering the Fed kind of being the trampoline.
Well, the Fed's not. The Fed is not the trampoline. The trampoline is the 1.9 trillion, which is coming.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Right. Government stimulus. So. Fed and Treasury and government are acting the same to me. So that I think could surprise even where we are now on the upside. You know, if we really start to get momentum from the suppression, you know, I think you could surprise yourself on the upside. It's just too soon to tell.
I think that's possible that things could surprise the upside as well.
In fact, I feel pretty certain about that. The only question is between now and then, what happens? You know, is it 18 months or 4 years? Like what happens between now and then? Because
it was 4 years, a lot of people are going to be disappointed, right? Like with all the money that's sort of baked in the cake in terms of, you know, excess savings, you know, whatever comes out of this stimulus package, we better get a big bounce. Like I'm seeing numbers like 8% growth for the year. Right? Like that's like emerging markets level growth. Like, I don't know if we're going to get there, but like responsible people who aren't in a bar, like are forecasting that. Speaking of savings, we got an income number since the last podcast that came in a month-to-month increase in personal income at 10%, right? So this is a number where 1% is a huge number. And so we got 10% in January. And that was all through the $600 stimulus checks. So then if you, you know, think the same, if we're getting another $1,400 after that, that's going to be another huge slug to personal income.
Right, but don't you think that's temporary, John?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's totally temporary. But like, that money still spends, right? Like one, it's either going to, one, people can go spend it, right? They don't have money. Two, they can, you know, increase, they can improve their balance sheets dramatically, right? Like people's propensity to borrow has dropped a lot. People have paid off their credit, like revolving credit is down. And that gives people much more, much better ability to sort of smooth over events in the future. So it's all sort of styling up, stocking up gunpowder to make a bigger bomb. I mean, that's how I see it.
Yeah, and reiterating, you know, there's going to be a point in time, and you said there better be, and I feel pretty confident that this is going to turn into dry powder. You're going to have, you know, substantial growth and spending, and you know, I think inflation too. But my concern is between here and there. You know, I could see a scenario where we're unable to keep the pace. We've already stalled a little bit, and we have some sort of problems in the latter half of this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
we suffer some pain first.
I can see that, but I guess that's why I'm excited to see the weekly numbers, the higher frequency numbers turn up, because I guess I'm worried about a stall as well. So you're saying like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to have a good, I don't know, May, June, July, but what happens in next September?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I'm seeing that, like, you know, if we're adding like one, like pent up demand, right? Like people just want to do the stuff they haven't been able to do.
Well, you have that. You have some one-time things. You have some things that you've forgotten about, you know, some of the weddings that didn't happen that were planning on happening when COVID left us, they might get blown off. So I don't know that all of the pent up spending is gonna hit the pent up trips that were canceled.
Yeah, you can't eat out. You can't. I mean, I was gonna say, like, in general, like if people skip a meal out, they don't do two meals out to make up for it. But you know, that kind of might for a little bit, right? Like people might be like, you know what, I'm going to the bar every night. You know, I miss my friends.
You're right. If you know, date night is Saturday night, and you throw another date night on there, I guess that could contribute a little bit. But I think people are like, they like seeing their savings. I think they're enjoying some of their alternative social plans. And I don't think it's a little bit.
But I mean, I'm starting to hear people. My friends are starting to like get a little crazy. Like we haven't seen people in a long time. Like we miss going to the diner. We miss having
people. They're the worst, John. People are the worst, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere you look. No, I see that too. I see that too. But I guess, you know, one of the things that we did a little homework, or you did a little homework on last year, was the faster numbers giving you some sort of clue, but kind of converging on the monthly numbers ultimately. And I thought that was pretty compelling. You know, you're getting a little lead on it, but at the end of the day, a 2-3-4 week lead kind of gives you a similarity of where you're going. That makes me feel real good about, you know, how we analyze the economy and the markets.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Again, to summarize, we saw a good payroll number, not a great payroll number. We are hoping that some of the weekly or higher frequency tea leaves are going to translate into a great payroll number next month at this time. And in the meantime, we're sort of clawing our way back. If you want more information, you can check it out on the Aster website, AsterIM, that's AsterInvestmentManagement.com. You can also find our app in your favorite app store. Just search for Aster Research. And that is it. I'll see you at the IC meeting, Rob.
Great, John. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.